The point. Hello, it's Mike Robin. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. Warehouse 13 has a mid-season wrap-up, and they're going out with a, the cast and the crew is here to explain that. Meanwhile, Fringe begins the final 13 episodes. What's that like for Joshua Jackson and Anna Torv? Plus, welcome Robin Schneider. She's talking Doctor Who here. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
It's the mid-season finale of Warehouse 13 on Sci-Fi, but don't feel too bad. There are new episodes starting up in April. But meanwhile, they're going out with a bang, a big bang, and one that's been built up to for a while, as explained by showrunner Jack Kinney.
We definitely will finally reach the culmination of everything that Artie's been struggling with all year, and that ultimately everybody's had to struggle with as the secrets have come out. So this is the culmination of that struggle and the revelation of what the evil is that Artie released, and then how Artie and our team have to deal with it. And so it's really kind of these next two episodes are both of a piece, and it's a real kind of a both of these episodes have a tremendous amount of action and adventure in them. We're kind of running all over the country and then all over the world, but I think we still maintain our sense of humor and our sense of darkness and danger all at the same time.
Series star Allison Scagliotti agrees.
In the past, the villains that we've encountered have been related to the warehouse in some way. Certainly, Walter Sykes had an artifact taken away from him. We've seen former warehouse agents in H.G. Wells and McPherson, but somehow we've managed to make this even more close to home, and it's disturbing.
Okay, they're a little vague there, but I guess that's the way it has to be, as Jack explained.
Yeah, it's excruciatingly difficult, I totally understand people not wanting to give away spoilers. At the same time, I can't imagine anybody who heard anything about what's coming up not watching the show because they'd heard it. You know, so it's kind of weird, and also because of the way the world is now, because every word you say is immediately tweeted around the entire globe by somebody, and I'm not talking about us, anybody. It's just it's an entirely new PR world that's going to have to sort of be broken like a Bronco and figured out how to ride. You know,
it's tough from the actor's point of view too, as explained by Saul Rubinek.
It's tricky because we have a lot of people. A lot of fans who are watching the show in different ways. They're watching it online, they're watching it on TV, they're watching it on their computers, they're watching it so many different ways, whether it's on sci-fi.com, I guess it's on Hulu, or they're looking at past seasons on Netflix. And people come up to us and talk to us about the show, and we depend on our fans, and we depend on their interaction. We're in a world where fans are interacting with all their shows, all their favorite shows, in a way that they never have been able to before. So, that makes it tough for us not to reveal stuff, you know. Frankly, the easiest thing for us to reveal are who's, you know, Sci-Fi likes to, and Gary, they like to hold on to who our guest stars are going to be. We don't think it makes that much difference, but we're asked not to reveal some stuff for PR reasons. It's really easy, obviously, not to reveal major plot points. We know the reason not to do that, but as Jack says, you know, no matter what we reveal, our fans are going to show up. They really enjoy the show, and they enjoy it as a family, which makes us even prouder of the show. But it's great to have people interested. We want to tell them some stuff, and we don't want to just tease.
There's more with the cast of Warehouse 13 coming up. Don't forget, though, the season finale Monday night on the Sci-Fi Channel. Let's jump into it, the very latest in pop culture. There's been an injury on the set of Thor 2 during the filming. Jamie Alexander, who plays Lady Sif, was hurt during the filming of a battle scene. She tweeted early in the week that she had sustained a pretty horrible injury and was lucky she wasn't paralyzed. She is hospitalized, though, and is expected to recover quickly. No word yet on whether this will cause a serious delay in production of the film, which is said to be released next year. We talk a lot about ratings, especially when it comes to the new shows of the season, but what about the ones that, well, are the most talked about? According to the research firm General Sentiment, the shows that have been the most talked about in social media so far this season include Vegas from CBS, NBC Chicago Fire, Partners on CBS, and Fox's The Mindy Project. The survey said that these shows were the most discussed in social media. However, it didn't say whether they were discussed in a positive or a negative manner, which could mean a lot to the networks themselves. Seems like a natural fit. The AMC hit series of Walking Dead and a Red Cross blood drive. The drama just announced a partnership with the Red Cross. It's called the Zombie Blood Drive, and it's being backed by a lot of celebrities, including ones that aren't necessarily attached to the show, like Peter Jackson, the Black Keys, and Jimmy Smits. You can see their zombie portraits online as well at the Walking Dead website. Now, if you make an appointment at the Red Cross to donate blood over the next few weeks, you need to go to the Walking Dead website's link to see if maybe you're the lucky winner of a visit to the set of the series. Do that, check out the portraits, and get more information, too, all at amctv.com. As we start to put together the ratings picture for the premiere of this year's television season, don't discount cable, that's for sure, because, again, just like in months past, cable network series are roaring right to the top of the list. For example, Sons of Anarchy, the controversial grisly death episode a few days ago, placed number two among all television watched, being bested only by the series premiere of Vegas over on CBS. Big wins for cable. There's probably more on the way with Dexter back for a controversial new season. And, of course, Showtime's Homeland back again after a series of some big Emmy wins just a few days ago. Not any kind of surprise here, but we at least have to note that Walking Dead has been renewed for our fourth season from AMC. Kind of figures, being the fact it is the biggest hit on the network has ever had. The new season will premiere in just a few weeks on October the 14th. At that time, AMC will make the official announcement, which kind of leaked out a few days ago, but again, no one shocked at that. The Point. We told you there's a new season of programming coming to The Point Radio and some new things to this broadcast as well. Not the least of which is Robin Schneider. She's an authoress, a video producer, she's beloved by the BBC, and she's talking Doctor Who here.
Hey, Robin Schneider here with a recap of this week's episode of Doctor Who, The Power of Three, written by Chris Chibnall. I have to say my favorite thing about Doctor Who this season, particularly in Chibnall's two episodes, has been the introduction of Brian as a third companion. Although, I wonder if Brian knows that the Doctor is married to his granddaughter. Weird thought, never mind. This episode brought us the tale of the slow invasion, but while that may have been the plot, it certainly wasn't the story. This is the penultimate episode before we say goodbye to the Pawns, and while it was a great setup character-wise, I wasn't quite sure what we were watching, an adventure or the prelude to one. On the one hand, we had this thoroughly engaging mystery of millions of alien cubes appearing on present-day Earth and doing nothing for a year. But we also had this great parallel of the Doctor appearing on present-day Earth and doing nothing for a year as well. To me, the episode felt a bit rushed, and I found myself wishing it had been a two-parter. With more time for the story to play out, perhaps there could have been a less underwhelming ending. What I really enjoyed about this episode was how it explored the idea that the Pawns might stop traveling with the Doctor because they've outgrown it. From the beginning, Amy has always seemed to parallel Wendy from Peter Pan, and this was a great way to remind us of that, and of how Matt Smith's Doctor never grows up. I also loved the way this episode played with time, showing Rory holding a phone charger under Henry VIII's bed to establish that a town called Mercy happened afterward. We've seen River and the Doctor meet at different points along their own timelines, but giving viewers the occasion to know not only where the characters have been, but where they're going was just really well done. I also loved Kate Stewart and the reintroduction of UNIT. I'm really hoping we get more of her and of the Doctor getting called in to work with the science division of the military, because it was just so Sherlock Holmes of him, solving the unsolvable cases, moping around when he's bored. Yeah, new show. Childish time-traveling alien consults with the science division of the military in a secret lab beneath the Tower of London. Where do I sign up to watch that? I thought there were some great moments here, like the comedy of Rory in his underwear, the reappearance of Fish Fingers and Custard, and the heart-to-two hearts between Amy and the Doctor. But there were also a lot of moments I could have done without. The cube-faced twin Doctors, the montage of the Doctor painting the fence, the slapstick welcome back lefty routine. I don't think it's possible to watch this episode without being very aware that it's setting up the Angels Take Manhattan. So I wonder if perhaps all of my whining that this needs to be a two-parter is in vain, and it's actually a two-parter after all. I guess we'll find out next week. You can let me know what you thought of this episode on Twitter. I'm at Robin Schneider. Thanks for listening.
Robin will deal with the doctor more every week here on the broadcast. In the meantime, get more Robin at GetThePointRadio.com. Follow her on Twitter at Robin Schneider and check out her website for her books and videos, RobinSchneider.com.
The Point Radio.
It's a bittersweet time to be a Fringe fan. Everybody's happy the series is coming back to Fox, but it's a little sad that this will be the last 13 episodes, winding up the story sometime right after the first of the new year. So how's it feel from the inside? Series star Joshua Jackson.
I mean this in the most joyful way, which is why I don't need the tissues. It feels great. I feel like we got a grace note at the end of a show. I'm sure everybody here has been a fan of a show that got canceled before its time, right? Possibly several. And when you are a fan of a show like that, the feeling of loss is really acute, and it sucks. So for us, you know, for a large corporate entity to give us, as the creative types on the show, to have the opportunity to finish our story in the way that we, and by we I mean Joel Wyman, wants to finish the story and say, which is one big thank you to the audience who has come with us for those four and now going on 5 years, it's the rarest of things. So that's why I don't need the tissues, because I'm stoked. I just think it's amazing that we have survived, thrived, failed, floundered, done all the things that can happen in 5 years, and we get a chance to end it on our terms.
So is it a sense of closure or resolution? Anna Torv explained.
But it's so funny because, like, closure and resolution are two very, very different things. And so I guess I should think about it. Do I want resolution or do I want closure? And maybe, actually, maybe for Fringe, I would choose resolution.
Looking back at the previous seasons, I had to ask Anna what her defining moment was.
I think that this is not just because I love doing season three, and when our production team, our showrunners, our writers, our network, our studio embraced wholeheartedly the fact that we were going to spend half the season in the third year of a show that wasn't doing that great in an alternate universe was kind of like one of the bravest things I think that people could do. And at that point I was like, oh, I'm damn proud to be a part of this. I think that was just unbelievable that they did that and committed to it. Didn't just give you a little taste, but went, we're going here, so come, you know, or not.
And for Joshua?
I think Fringe's greatest accomplishment, it's not unique in this, because I think all good science fiction accomplishes this, particularly in the television format, is having human characters at the center of a huge epic story, of really having a believable heroine, of having this beautiful father-son dynamic that is a very rare thing to put into a story. So I think that's our greatest accomplishment. I think I'm a huge, huge fan of science fiction, but the place I think that science fiction loses broader audience is when it gets too far into the geek and you lose the emotional core, the human core. And I think John, God love him, even as our show in the first year was floundering a little bit and trying to figure out what it was and what it was going to become, created this beautiful, human, broken, tortured, funny, witty, scary character that is totally unique and instantly relatable, which is like the hardest thing in the world to do. So, yeah, maybe that's our greatest accomplishment, is John Noble.
We've got more with the cast and creators of Fringe coming up. New episodes every Friday right now on Fox.
The Point.
That's it for now. We're back in a few days. More on all things finale with Warehouse 13 and Fringe as well. In the meantime, pop culture continues and we keep it going on the only pop culture radio station on the planet. GetThePointRadio.com. You can listen free right there or take us along on any mobile device with TuneIn Radio. And that's a free app you can get right now in the App Store. This broadcast is produced twice every week on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. You can get it, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory. Love for you to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook under The Point Radio, or write us direct at listen@getthepointradio.com. See you back here in a few days. Get the